anything logical, she doesn't want to do.
What does it say?
Meeting called to order at 3:06. So Joe is not here today. Joe's in a webinar. He might come towards the end of the meeting if the webinar is finished, but we don't know the length of it. It's for advancing his careers, and we appreciate that professional development at the Student Government Association. So Joe has contacted James about being the temporary attorney general for this meeting, the entirety of the meeting, or until Joe can come, and seeing that we need an attorney general to be nominated, and there's only two individuals that can do it. It's the president pro tempore and the president, and the president's not here.
Motion to nominate James as temporary attorney general.
Is there a second?
Second.
James, do you accept?
Yes.
James is now temporary attorney general. Phenomenal, we can progress. Acceptance of the minute, roll call. Primo, the president pro tempore, we'll do the roll call. Just an FYI, if you're not a legislator, please sit in the far back chair, the far back desks. I know that we don't have like a seating area today, but that's kind of what we're working with. Primo.
Angela. Adonis. Ariana.
Here.
Elshima. Evan.
Here.
Giovanna. Greg.
Here.
Guillermo. Jack.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jamie. Jarrell. Jonathan.
Here.
Carla. Kevin, Nick,
here.
Paulette,
here.
Me, here. Rick,
here.
Scott,
here.
Charisse,
here.
Elshmuth, here.
Tristan, Tyshawn,
here.
Wisdom,
here.
Yep. One.
And we count to Elshima too. Okay, great. So everyone, acceptance of the minutes. Please scroll down to the bottom of your agenda to have the minutes from last week. Angela has done it for us. And we're gonna, now one of you are gonna be next. But just please see if there's any amendments that need to be made. If there's a name that was misspelled, there was a person that didn't say something. Yeah, I just passed around the town hall agenda from February 26th, and I told you I would go over it with you, and as promised, I'm going to go over it with you. Any amendments needing to be made? Ariana.
Motion to make a friendly amendment. My name is spelled wrong throughout the entirety of the
month. Awesome. Spelled with one N on here? What is it spelled like?
With two.
With two N's. Great. I didn't know how to spell your name.
Great.
Well, I didn't, but whatever. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Amendment has been made. Any other amendments to the meeting minutes? Okay, so for the new legislators and those who are just shadowing, you do not vote just yet until you get sworn in, but for Rick, until the president is here, we can't swear you in. Okay. So in order to accept these minutes, we need 2/3 majority vote. All those in favor, all those opposed, all those abstaining, minutes have been accepted. Administrative report. Great. Officer report. We had an officer. Who's going to report? I shall give mine instead now. Okay. So do you have it? Do you have the town hall agenda? Do you have the town hall?
Yeah.
Okay. So as I mentioned last meeting, we had town hall for organizations, and I do want to cover the topics that were discussed. I'm the vice president, for those of you who are new to the space or new to myself. It's kind of similar to what the SJ minutes look like. I want to cover some of the topics that were discussed and some issues and some places that I think the legislature can to be very helpful in these scenarios. So the first thing that happened, obviously, we had roll call. We had guest speakers, so Joe talked about the elections. I'm not going to go over it. You already got that spiel about the elections. So some internal SGA issues that were brought up. And I also think it's really important to be transparent about what goes on with the organizations because it does reflect the entire SGA. So For some of them, they said that they don't know the accounts that we have. So, for example, for purchasing accounts like Costco's, Best Buy, all of these items that they don't have to spend their own money with, they would like a brochure, like a, you know, information where they can go so they don't have to spend their own money and get reimbursed. So that was something that was brought up. AC Moore, Restaurant Depot, just some items like that. Businesses that accept checks. So as you know, the SGA does not deal in credit, or we do not deal in cash. We don't give organizations cash, only class ones once a semester and SLAM once a semester. And it needs to be requested. So we only deal with checks. So it's somewhat limiting. It's very limiting to organizations. However, the type of nonprofit we are and how many people actually have purchasing power is very unique for nonprofits. We basically have 67 people that can purchase and have that authority to purchase, which are the presidents and the treasurers, even more. So 67 times two. And we can't have a credit card for all of them. So this is what we're dealing with. So they did ask for places that in the local area that accepted checks to have a list of them to be supplied to them. And that was something that the treasurer and myself are going to work on to get that tabulated. So a few places mentioned ShopRite, Party City, Michaels. However, some of you are organization representatives. So if you can go back to your organizations and ask if there's any other places that accept checks and just send them to me through email, it's going to make it easier. Target. I know Target, but just if the addresses are specific too, because some
do. I know the one in Clifton Commons.
Clifton Commons. Okay, cool. So that's something I'll write down. So that's something we talked about. Making Chartwells affordable. It was a big topic. It was like a huge topic, and there was like a lot of minutes on that that I had typed up. But there's actually more that was said. But these are the main points. Like we do in SGA meetings, we don't do every single word. So a big problem was that the prices are just very expensive. But I mean, it's hard to say when they get a budget, and it's hard to say, well, you know what, it is tantamount to what they're getting. The money that they spend on food is not just for the food itself. So a lot of the times when they have vendors, they pay a much lower price, and because it's only just cooking the food. Most of the times you're not paying for the tip, you're not paying for the cleanup, you're not paying for the setup of the plates. And that's not to say that that's justification for Chartwell's extreme gap in the prices for typically the same item, but it does contribute to it, which per plate, it really, really adds up when you're having 200, 300 people plus at your events. So we did talk about some ways to make it more affordable. When Serafina gets here, she's here now, she'll speak about, we have tried to set up a meeting with the Director of Auxiliary Services, to try and, you know, come up with some type of price agreement. Hasn't gotten back to us yet. Serafina, catching you up, talking about the town hall topics. And I just mentioned that we tried to contact Andrew Pignatera about having a meeting of some sort, but has not gotten back to you yet. So I just wanted to make sure that was still accurate. So we are trying to connect with them to come to some type of agreement. Another item was brought up was to see if they can do the price, divvying up the prices differently. So whether it could be done in more of a bulk way rather per plate, because maybe organizations have an easier time gauging how many people are going to be at their event, so they don't have to pay for the 300 people if they got, like, say, a couple of half trays or something. So, and I explained to them it was a 25-year contract or 20-year contract that was already signed, and we have about, like, 15 years to go. So I did try to explain that, but I understand it's a serious concern. So maybe with that being said, as the SGA legislature, if any of you are interested about connecting with the auxiliary services and to come up with some prices, I did ask the organizations to kind of come up with like a price that they think would be acceptable per plate for certain events, for certain like sit-down events, for their appetizers. A couple of years ago, the Student Government Association and Dining Services did sit down, and they came up with a student dining menu, which is a reduced price of the things that they have. A lot of organizations at this town hall did not know about it, so it was just something that they were learning too. So we do have that. I think it's important to know. The food waiver policy, huge deal, big deal, because a lot of the organizations do want to use an outside vendor. But the food waiver policy is a little unattainable for small businesses, small local businesses. So we're going to try to set up a meeting with, again, for the fourth time, with dining services to go over the food waiver policy and get an actual written policy. A lot of the times it's been word of mouth, it's been on the food waiver form, but they don't have a physical policy that they can refer me to. I've asked them a couple of times, and I know the other executive board members have as well. So we're going to push for a physical policy, just like we have for you. When you ask us something, where it came from, we're not like, you know, we refer you to the statutes, or refer you to the Constitution, so you could actually look directly where we're coming up with these words. So timely manner for checks. Yeah.
I'm just reading the top thing that you said, the last thing before timing manner for checks.
Yes.
In the dining. An act of civil disobedience, is that like a
practice? Yeah. The organizations were like, okay, so if we can't just use our vendors and let it be acceptable for us, because we said absolutely not. It's not acceptable. You know, we're telling you a policy and you're deliberately violating it. 100% no. But what I did say, I mean, I said, if you all rally together and you decide not to use dining, not to have food on campus, and as an act of civil disobedience, that's something that I could see happening, and I could see potentially working. So I did give that an option to do something like that. So I said, you have to commit, every one of you, 67 of you have to commit to not having food at your events, which would suffer attendance, 100%. And some orgs were really interested in it, and some orgs were not. But they're going to their class director meetings. They've talked about it. That's what was instructed to talk about, you know, if they're on board, if the class is going to vote to do some of the things that were mentioned at the town hall. And I'll let you know what they do. Their end of them this week is their meeting, so they'll have most of them. Tomorrow's the last one. So see if anyone talked about that at their meeting. Timely manner for checks. And the treasurer's office, it does take quite a while to receive reimbursements. What we told the organizations, and this is something that probably is going to come up in a bill for you all, so please be ears to it, was that they're supposed to record when they submit items, when they submit their paperwork, if there's amendments to their paperwork, and what time they got reimbursed, what length of time it took them. Because a lot of them were like, oh, I didn't get it for a month, I didn't get it for 2 months, but we don't have like physical evidence that happened, because a lot of the paperwork, they kind of throw out their slips. So that's something that they're tasked with, and we're probably going to come up with some type of policy regarding what they've come up with. So that will probably be happening at the end of the semester, though. So we're trying to get at least like 2 months worth of data back from organizations. So that's something that they were also supposed to be recording and talking about. Any questions on that? And here's a fun one. Now this really kind of impacts you all. SGA external issues. So that was just, you know, the other ones were how we function on the inside. This one's things that they talked about on campus problems. So student affairs, if you're going to listen up, right? Or if you're dining, you actually already covered one of the things that were talked about. So free speech policy, that was something that the Young Americans for Liberty brought up. It's a class 4 organization that came in front of you last semester to be chartered. Their FIRE, which is basic, it's not an actual FIRE. It's an organization that rates universities based on their compliance with the free speech, with the First Amendment. They have a grading scale of red, yellow, or green, based on, you know, how they presume your university functions and what policies are in effect at your university to inhibit or to promote free speech. So, for example, one policy at this university is that we, you know, of course, protesting is obviously your right, and the university supports the act to demonstrate, but there is a 48-hour notification policy and a form that they do need to fill out in order to protest, which is for the safety of those who are protesting and the safety of others on campus, just so that we know where they're happening. If it's academic buildings, we don't want to disrupt the learning of anyone else. But this organization thinks that it's something they want to look into, to see if the time could be cut down, if there's something that could be cut down. So they have a petition that they're bringing to the organization. That's as far as I know. I'll take questions in a second. So you can go on FIRE. It's like capital FIRE, because it's an acronym. Something, freedom, something. and you can see it for yourself. So they do have recording and logs of things that happened that's been reported to them that kind of go violate it. We're on there a couple times. But research, do some history about that, do some research on that. Yes?
Isn't this campus a public property?
Correct. We are a public institution.
So with that state in mind, why why is there a 48-hour policy for us to protest when others have come in?
They haven't. Everyone that comes in here has to do it. Or they're going to be, like, cornered and, what are you doing? And they, like, ask you politely to leave until you fill out. Yes. Yes.
He always gives you a notice?
Not me, but the university.
I'm the university.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We've asked, as a student government, asked every time someone comes on campus, and the university reassures us that they had followed they have been compliant with the policy. I don't know anyone that hasn't, but there has, might have been that just I don't know about. Ariana.
I know that the policy is set in place so that there are enough police officers who are working that day, because the police department, it's not a secret, it's not a humongous police department, we're not a huge area of space that needs that. So I know from last year's semester, I can't remember.
Last year.
When that whole thing went down, I talked to Dean Carter about it, and she told me about that.
Yeah.
So I think that the policy, like, yes, it infringes a bit on freedom of speech, but I think it's for the safety of everybody, because at the end of the day, we still are a university, even though it's a public space. So
it's something that I just want to bring it to you, because it happened at the town hall, and I thought most of you probably are not going to watch the video of it. So I said, just so you know what happened at this town hall. I love when people are involved on campus, so I really want to encourage this with the organizations. I encourage them taking a part in this, so you might see it. He might want to come, he might present it with petitions, and the committees will have to look at it, at least. You know, whether or not they act on it is another story, but they do have to look, you do have to look at proposals that are sent. Another thing, let's talk about crosswalk safety. This was a big issue. A bigger issue than I thought it was going to be. We do have crosswalkers, crossing guards who, like, help you navigate the traffic of Montclair State University. But there were some items mentioned that there were the lighting at some of these, you know, crosswalks, the one by Denalo coming from the transit area was poorly lit. I did go over there. I did check all this out. It's lit, but it's not flashing that people can be walking there. So they definitely want to tackle this. They're going to come together again. I told them all they must come together before coming here to talk about what specific issues that they have. But that was one idea. And then Joe had mentioned that there's no technology by these crosswalks for the visually impaired. So that was something that also handicap accessibility was brought up again, which I know that we want to tackle at the legislature as a whole. After that, they talked about cross-contamination. I need say no more. We have a bill that's going to go up today to tackle that issue. So kudos to you all for being proactive with that. And lastly, we had, again, handicap accessibility, which they talked about the doors on buildings not being accessible. We have noted this. We have pleaded. This was also brought up at the student leadership dinner with Dr. Cole. And we brought this up, that there's places on campus that are not handicap accessible. And then they explained that the facilities has a list of most important things that need to be fixed on campus in terms of accessibility, and they work their way down. But what that list looks like, what's on it, who prioritized it, I don't know. So that's something that we said we would look into to see what kind of list they got going on. And then that was pretty much it. Does anyone have any questions with what the town hall was? I didn't really describe it, I guess, too much, but Ariana.
When is the next one, and can we attend?
Absolutely, absolutely. However, like, there's going to be probably standing room only. We have a small space. It's like, oh, it's a huge Broadway play. We don't have a lot of space for this one, because I'm not going to talk about it. We don't have a lot of space for this particular event. It's in the Ballroom C. It's on March 26th from 6 to 8. It's a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday from 6 to 8, but it's on March 26th, Ballroom C. So, yes, you are most definitely encouraged to come. I think we did have a couple legislators in the space. The Attorney General was there, obviously all the directors. Nikita was there. And they really love it. They love that they actually get to talk to you all. So if you do have that time, I would love for you to be there. March 26th, Tuesday, 6 to 8. And there's one in April as well. I think that's the 28th, though. But I'll let you know when March comes around. So, yeah.
It is March. April.
when like March really comes around, like the end of March. Elshma, do you still have a question?
The cross contamination you mentioned, you're talking about using non-vegan food.
Correct. Yeah, that's the one they talked about. Not just vegan food, but religious observances as well. That was all covered. Gluten-free intolerances, allergies, so, which will be the bill addresses. Anything else about the town hall? Any questions? Okay, and I do have another report on a more serious note. You know I like you all, right? So you're not going to take offense when I say something. Okay, so I've had two committees, two organizations. One was organization review. The other committee that they went to was student affairs. And I've had organizations come to me and say how upset they were that the legislators were on their phones while they presented something or while they talked about something. That is like the number one thing that I just can't stand. You hear me tell you all the time, get off your phones, right? So after this they tell me who exactly it was, and I know these people because they're on the SJ meetings and they use their phones, so I know it was accurate. So here's what's gonna happen. The next time someone's on their phone, you're gonna be asked to leave. And I said that last time, and I really do mean leave. You are not mentally present in this space, and it's not fair to what's being discussed at these meetings, and it's certainly not fair to organizations who are so nervous and are coming to present in front of you all and not even paying attention to them. I had an organization need to present in front of me their presentation because they felt that the organization did not care about, the committee did not care about them, and they didn't know if they were going to do well in front of you all as a whole. So it's just not, it's not acceptable, and I will not say anything else on that. I will be instructing all chairs, and the chairs are here right now. If someone's on their phone, they're not receiving attendance for that meeting. So you do not have to notify the legislator at that moment. It's their responsibility. You know, I'm telling you now. And I will notify you after the meeting once the chair has notified me that you were on your phone. You will not receive attendance. And again, for this one, I'm just going to ask you to leave. Unless it's an emergency, and you all know if you get an emergency text or call, you are 100% allowed to leave the space, right? You know that. But you cannot be on your phone in this space. Is there any questions about that? Great. I didn't think so. Okay. So any other reports? Vincent, Sarah? Vincent. No.
All right. Hi, guys. So I'm just going to present to you guys our...
Did you send it to my email?
Yeah.
You can pull it up. Or you can keep talking.
All right. I'm just presenting to you guys our financial standing as of January and February. So for January, our fall income, or for the fall semester, we had $720,000, or $740,000. We estimated to have $720,000. So actually we had more. So the $20,000 surplus went to unappropriated surplus. And so far for our budgets, we've had the main goal of our budget is to stay under budget. So for all our expenses so far, for example, you can see here. All right.
See in a second.
Alright.
I swear it's coming. Yeah. Do you wanna just make it bigger so they can see? I'll move.
All right. So as you can see, our budget for payroll, employee benefits, student documents,
can you all see this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I see a lot of no's though. Can you just go like this? Make it just bigger. You want me to help you? Okay.
How bright see that?
So as you can see, for all our budget that was made for the academic year, we are staying in our expenses. We are basically under budget, so there's no negative sign anywhere in our balances. So that's a good thing. So for our payroll, our employee benefits, student government, SU programs, a SLAM, bills, capital investments, we are, the aim is to stay under budget, not go over budget. So far, it's, we are basically in good financial standing. We're not overspending, we're within our means. And so that is a good thing. Also, one thing that also helped us is that we estimated to have 720, we expected to have 720,000 for the fall semester. We had 740,000. So the extra $20,000 went into unappropriated surplus. The spring fees for the semester just came. So that will be in our next, bless you. Our spring fees for the semester just came. So that will be in our budget for March. So you get that in March. So this is our financial position as of January 31st, 2019, and I'll show you for February.
It's in the email. Above.
Same thing for February. We are basically still under, but we're staying within our means. So for payroll again, was 172,000 for this semester. We have spent 123 so far. We have a balance of 46. For student government, which is the SGA itself, we have 495. We spent 368. We have 107 left. So basically, what we should be looking at here is that in our balances, there's no negative sign, meaning that we are not going into our, or we're not overspending. And so far, as you can see with all the appropriations, we are under budget, we are within our means, we're not overspending, and that is the goal, and we're doing it. So, any questions with this?
I'm at the top. Uh-huh. Is the total estimated funds available, is that an actual estimation, or is that how much we have?
Which one?
This number right here.
That is the estimation.
So it's just an estimate of how much we should, what?
Yeah, so basically we haven't gotten the funds for spring semester. So what we do is we kind of like estimate what we're gonna get for a spring semester, what we're gonna get for the fall semester, and then we budget lower than that. Usually, what happens is that the money comes and it's more than what we expected. So our expenditure is still less than our budget.
And I have another question. Is the cash on hand unappropriated?
No, the cash on hand was in the bank. It has nothing to do with our spending. So cash on hand, all right. So basically we have a bank account with our assets, all right. And so this bank account with the assets is what we don't touch that. Nothing happens, we don't touch it. As the semester goes on, as the year goes on, whatever surplus we have, it goes into our assets. So it's supposed to keep growing. So if this thing keeps going down, it's an issue. Yeah, so our cash on hand is what's in the bank. We're not touching.
Jack.
Could you repeat what's the unappropriate surplus, what's the amount in the unappropriate surplus? Where is it?
All right. Right now we have 259,342.93.
Okay. Thanks.
Is that the same number as the cash on hand?
No, it's not.
No.
It's not the same thing.
No, it's not
the same thing.
Any other questions? So the purpose of this is that the treasurer needs to give a monthly report to the legislature about the finances. I thought it's very imperative this semester because you are all going to be dealing with budgets soon, right? Class 1 budgets are coming up. All the budgets are coming up, actually, except for 4s. So, and some of the organizations have been rallying together to have their budget, so for class 2s and 3s, be increased. So I wanted to make sure you know like what's being spent. If you go down a little bit, right there, yeah. All the class 1s, their budget and what they've actually spent as of February, this one is. So it's very, very useful. So for example, say class 3s want an increase in budget, but you can see right now that's 7,000. 484 is being spent. It kind of gives a little bit more perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what I was hoping, just to so you guys can see the actual numbers, because you don't see them often. Yes, any questions? Oh, no. Okay. Any other questions? Anything else, Vincent?
I don't think I gave an update on the BOT.
Yeah,
so...
Marielle praised you, but that was it.
Oh, all right. So we had... When was the BOT meeting?
I don't remember the date.
I don't remember the date either. But we had a BOT meeting where we presented the audit report for 2017-2018, and basically it went well, so that's a good thing. And
they
I just
loved
thought,
it.
I just thought you guys should know that. All right.
Okay.
Question.
Any questions for the executive treasurer? Thank you, Vincent. Serafina, crossing fingers. Did you happen to find the... Awesome. Rick. Rick. That was Rick. Okay, got that right. Okay. Because
yeah.
You were just like staring at me. Come up. Hi, everyone. Rick is one of our new legislators. So, Rick, please face the crowd. All these smiling faces. Guys, they're not going to come back if you don't smile. And please say your name that I already said. The year you are major, the reason why you're in this space today.
Okay. So, my name is Rick, obviously stated. I'm a freshman. My major is international business, and the reason I decided to join was because I felt like this was the only way I could actually do anything in Montclair and actually make a difference. And one of the organizations I would like to join is actually approving other clubs.
Cool.
And so I felt that was like the biggest way to do anything.
Great. Just stay right there.
Sorry.
So, just making sure we're all paying attention.
Okay.
So you're going to raise your right hand and then repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Rick Acharya.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of legislator.
The office of legislator.
Of the Student Government Association.
Of the Student Government Association.
Of Montclair State University Incorporated.
At Montclair State University Incorporated.
And that I will.
And that I will.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Uphold the Constitution of the Student Government.
Uphold the Constitution of the Student Government.
Congratulations.
Woo! Okay. Okay. Right. Again, if anyone needs to talk to anyone or anything, you can just step outside. I want to make sure we're all paying attention and present in this space. Okay. No, Jill is not here. Okay. And do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Cabinet reports. David.
Hello.
I'll pass it around.
Okay, sounds good. All right. So for those that don't know me, my name is David Zepeda. I'm the current director of Classroom Organizations here on campus. So 3 quick updates. So Emma's passing the calendar for Class 1 Week. Class 1 Week is dedicated to Class 1. So these are all the events that will be hosted by Class 1. So please come and support them. Second update is we're currently in the planning of our Class 1 Showcase. That is an event that is all about Class 1s. It is hosted by One Class Org and co-sponsored by all other Class 1 organizations. So that event focuses on Class 1s. That's their time to shine and show the student body of what they are. And so our theme, what we all collectively agreed on, is kind of like a superhero theme, but like also what we call a double mixer in a way. And what I mean by that is everyone liked the idea of like mixing different types of drinks and like hanging around. So kind of like we're having everyone providing all different types of drinks and you guys can mix them around or have fun. Obviously, it's non-alcoholic drinks. Don't worry. We gotta keep it safe for everybody. And then the other part of the mixer is kind of to treat it as like a mixer where the student body can come and interact with Class 1 orgs and get to know each other. And that's like a way of like advertising and also just to show them what they really are about. And number three, regarding the Chartwell's issues. So what Emma mentioned earlier about the town hall, as much as the Class 1s do not like Chartwell's and how like that whole situation is being carried out, they all agreed to comply with the current rules because fortunately, we're stuck with it, and so they want to keep complying with the rules, and if they all decide to like not bring food to their events, it's obviously going to impact their attendance, and they still want to keep providing for the student body, so they're going to just comply with the rules to, you know, provide for everybody. And does everybody have any questions?
Any questions for David?
Yes,
Kevin.
Do we have the community supervillains too, or just like superheroes?
So ever like the idea of dressing up as superheroes? I mean, that ruling can be flexible. You can dress up as a supervillain or not, but everyone like the idea of superheroes, so we're gonna just stick to the superhero idea until further notice. But that was agreed on yesterday because we had our class record meeting, so we've thrown a lot of ideas, and so that was the idea that everyone liked. Yes.
Elshima.
I kind of missed it, but people are dressing up as superheroes. Can we dress up also as their alter ego counterparts?
Sure. Cool. Like a sidekick or anything?
No, no, I meant like instead of dressing up as Superman, dress up as Clark Kent.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Get you, yeah. I get what you
mean. I bet that would be fine.
Yes.
Nick.
Class 1 week is superhero theme.
No, that's the showcase. The showcase is separate from the Class 1 week. Because I was originally wanted to have the showcase during Class 1 week, but unfortunately with all the paperwork and all that time differences, it's obviously not going to work out. So we all decided that we're going to look around the week of April 15th. Most likely everyone's looking at the day April 15th, around 6-8. That's when most organizations are available for that event. So more details will be disclosed as we go on through the semester. Anyone have any other questions?
Okay. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Marie?
Hi, everyone. My name is Marie Eisner. I'm the Class 3 director. So again, I think we're just going to be repeating everything. So during town hall, Emma posed a couple of questions that she wanted us to take back to our organizations. I haven't had a complete meeting with every single one, so I don't have any results to tell you as of yet. So maybe you can expect that the first week after spring break, I will tell you as a collective what the Class 3 organizations want to do with Chartwell's, and with any other issue that comes up. But as of right now, a couple of questions that my organizations are having is concerning capital investments. Because the examples that we were all given during financial training applies to Class 1 organizations. So now we're trying to figure out how to do that for Class 3 organizations. But other than that, we're all just really struggling with trying to maintain the peace within the organizations.
I hear it. Any questions for the Class 3 director? Statements, comments, Vincent?
More information. The capital investment, let's speak on that. I get how the examples given could be related more to Class 1 organizations. However, the goal is that whatever they're getting for organization should last more than a year. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be in an office setting. It doesn't have to be furniture or stuff like that. But it has to be something that you can see your organization using for more than a year that we can invest in for you guys.
Yeah. And point of clarification to the legislature, capital investment as it stands is exclusively for Class 1 organizations right now. And that's looking, the government administration committee along with the treasurer are looking to adjust it. So just so you know. Anything else for the Class 3 director? Thank you, Marie. Any other cabinet reports? Nope. Committee reports, instead of rattling off your names, do we have any reports to be given in committee? Ty?
everyone. My name is Ty, if you guys don't know. I'm the chair of student affairs, and I wrote some stuff, and I took a picture of it. But so recently the committee and I, we've been working on this proposal to help CAPS. If you guys don't know what CAPS is, it's the Center for Counseling and Psychological Services, right? Okay, Counseling and Psychological Services. And we were given a proposal by a fellow student who strongly believed that CAPS needed more recognition and also needed to be helped. The process has been slow because this proposal is more of a long-term thing. So we've really been like trying to get statistics on what we can do to help them. Me personally, I've met with the director, her name is Jacqueline, and she will be attending our meeting, which is Monday 4 to 5, March 18th. If any of you guys wanna come, you're welcome to come. You could come sit in, listen, ask questions, figure out what's going on. The person who I don't know if I should disclose their name that gave the proposal is also going to attend the meeting, so we can really buckle down and figure out what the next move is gonna be, especially considering the fact that the proposal was given was just like an idea. So we're gonna be doing that. And also what we've also been doing in student affairs is we've been going over previous proposals from previous semesters and years and stuff like that, and trying to figure out what we can really do to help better student life here. And that's it.
Okay. Any questions for the Chair of Student Affairs? Thank you. Any other committee has a report? Nope. Got it. Programming. Finally, Student Board of Trustee Tuition Hearing Briefing. So, I'm going to interview you. I'll introduce you.
Okay.
So, this is Nikita. She's a non-voting student representative to the Board of Trustees, and she so graciously said that she will give us an overview of what the tuition hearing is, what it is, some questions you might ask, because I know when it was brought up, some people didn't really know what it was about. It's a beautiful presentation. It will come up soon. You have the floor.
Thank you. All right, so hi, as Emma said, in the beautiful show, my name's Nikita. I was one of you last year, so I sold my soul to the SGA.
This is Sunny. Sunny? Look at that. That's not my presentation. No, it's...
Last year I ran to get on the Board of Trustees, and here's my presentation. Cool. I tried to make it fun. Pop of color. All right. So, first question is, what is the Board of Trustees? Who are you? Why are you standing here? I don't see you a lot. I get you. The Board of Trustees is like a supervisory group for Montclair State University. So it's kind of like a watchdog organization. It's more big picture and more future plans than day-to-day operations of the university. But members of the board are appointed by the governor. They're also approved by the New Jersey Senate. And they're usually kind of business-oriented. They're usually geared towards New Jersey's industries. So for example, one is the CEO of PPAC Gladstone Bank. There's the COO of ShopRite. So a lot of kind of big jobs, a lot of really important figures. What the board does is they do mostly big picture things. So examples of that is approving new academic majors, approving plans to renovate or establish new buildings, going over the university budget and audits. Other examples are like there's a personnel committee, so there's approving tenure, approving leave, approving faculty reappointments. And then what I do is I am sitting on the Board of Trustees as a student representative. Two student representatives are required for all state schools in New Jersey by law. We serve 2-year terms. First is as non-voting, and the second is as voting. So right now, I don't get a vote, but I'm kind of like the apprentice, and I'm learning about the position. The student trustees sit on 3 committees as of now. Academic Affairs and Facilities is the one I'm sitting on, and the one that non-voting student trustees sit on. So that's the one about majors, about renovating buildings, about building new buildings, if we have any space for that. Then there's also the Audit, Finance, and Investment Committee. So Vincent prepared a report and presented in front of the Board of Trustees at the Audit, Finance, and Investment Committee. That's the one I'll be sitting on next year. I'm terrified for it. But right now, the voting trustee is a finance major, so she has a lot of fun with it. And then the new committee that I really don't know much about yet is the Advisory Committee on Socially Responsible Investment. I believe that had to do with divestment from fossil fuels, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll find out next year. And, okay. Then, so the way that tuition works is not that Susan Cole and Rocky the Red Hawk go off in a room and discuss how they're gonna spend the budget. It's a little bit more complicated than that. So in March, I think this actually happened yesterday, but the governor put forward his budget proposal, and that includes funding for public colleges and universities. This gets fought about until the summer, so it's a fun time for politics. If you're interested in local politics, I feel like a lot of student government members are poli sci majors. So from March to June, annoy your representative. Call them, email them, show up to their office, whatever you need to do, because this is your opportunity to get the budget adjusted, because the Senate will approve of it in early July. And then it's over for the year. But right now is kind of the Game of Thrones period in government. So now's the exciting, dramatic time. And I think it's really important to get involved with understanding how funding works, because from 2008 to now, if you adjust for inflation, public colleges and universities have lost $9 billion in funding. And that's more money than most of us will probably ever see. So it's been a huge drop. It's impacted a lot of universities for the worse. And it impacts Montclair too. So when Montclair sees the funding they're most likely going to get from New Jersey, in April, they put together a likely budget based on that funding, but that funding could change. And in April, they also throw a tuition hearing. And that's to hear student perspectives on tuition and feedback on how the university spends its money. So it's a super, super important meeting. And the time of that meeting is April 10th at 11 a.m. April 10th. At 11 a.m.
If you want to take out your phones for just this moment and put that in your calendar, it's totally acceptable. April 10th.
At 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
April 10th. At 11 a.m. The date is burned into my mind.
Nikita, what day is that?
It's a Wednesday. Where is it? It's most likely going to be at the 7th floor of University Hall, but sometimes the meeting dates change, so don't quote me on that.
We'll let you know.
Nikita
will let us know. We'll send an email out to everyone.
Yes. The administration will also start sending you a bunch of emails if you would like to read them. I know a lot of students don't read their emails, but sometimes you find some cool stuff in there. April 10th, 11 a.m. If you could go to the next slide. So some of the things I want to accomplish in my position is getting a larger conversation about tuition and about the relationship between the university and the state. Because, for example, even though Rowan is a smaller university and statistically serves a less needy student body, they get $30 million more in funding than Montclair State. $30 million. You heard that right. And they're a lot smaller of a school, but there's a lot of kind of underlying political motivations behind funding that you get to learn about and get mad at. And I think the importance of the tuition hearing also is to let the board see your faces. The board only comes once every few months. We really don't attend a lot of meetings, and they don't get a lot of student interaction. So while I can name three people who work three jobs, they don't know about students who are working multiple part-time jobs to be able to pay for tuition. Another thing is, in a study of 200 students, about 10% use the Red Hawk Pantry on either a weekly or a monthly basis. I think it was 12% on a monthly, and then 10% was on a daily or something like that. So, you know, that's something you don't think about. You don't think about the fact that 10% of the university might deal with food insecurity. So I think having a lot of diverse student perspectives present at the board meeting is super important, and I would love to see more students speak up about their stories and their friends' stories, and being able to tie those stories in together with why tuition affects people on a larger basis and why your story has isn't uncommon. So if you know a bunch of students who are working 3 part-time jobs, 4 part-time jobs, it's not uncommon here, but that's something that people don't think about. And last year, I think maybe 5 students spoke at the Board of Trustees meeting. So that isn't ideal for me, though I think TCNJ had no students speak at their meeting, so we're doing better than them. And they're also, 11 a.m. on Wednesday is a time when a lot of students have classes, so you do have an option to submit an online comment that will be read at the closed committee meetings for the Board of Trustees. I don't think any students took advantage of that last year, or maybe 1 or 2 at most, so I absolutely encourage you to write a little 3-paragraph, please don't raise tuition, letter, or if you want tuition raised, I mean, it's student feedback. I also noticed that some students were encouraged by their professors to go, but they didn't speak at the meetings. They just attended the meeting. And then the second the tuition hearing part was over, there was kind of just like a sea that got up and left. And I mean, the rest of the Board of Trustees meetings are still pretty relevant to you. A lot of it is on what your tuition dollars is being spent. And I understand that not everyone is interested in that, and that's totally okay. But I would love to see more students attending the Board of Trustees meetings just out of curiosity. The format of the meeting also is kind of intimidating. I mean, you have to speak in front of a large room and in front of a lot of members of the Board of Trustees. And I understand that can be kind of difficult. So once again, there's the online format. You don't have to do any public speaking. So I'm trying to change the conversation on the tuition hearing and get more students involved. So this year, I've contacted student clubs. I've contacted honor societies. I've contacted the Greek Senate. I've contacted the Office of Greek Life. And I've contacted the deans of every college. And I'm still waiting on a lot of them to get back to my emails, but I've emailed like crazy. And I also am in contact with the government relations officer, and we're trying to change the conversation about programs like the tuition aid grant. If you look into the tuition aid grant and its funding, there was an organization that looked at the tuition aid grant and how it supports private universities versus public universities. And in 1978, the tuition aid grant was made with the intent to be able to provide 100% of financial support to students who needed it most and attended a public university. And now it's like 55% is the max support. So it's gone down 45% over the years because nobody talks about it and it's kind of easy to cut. But when private colleges and universities got involved in the tuition aid grant, they would get 1/3 of funding. Their most needy students could get up to 1/3 of maximum aid, and that still stayed intact. So, you know, 45% for public colleges and universities, but no real cut for private colleges and universities. That's fun. So there's a lot of really inconsistencies with the tuition aid grant program, and that's another thing that I didn't really realize before I threw myself into this position and sold my soul to the SGA. So, that's something I would love to see more students talking about because the idea is if you went to another school, you might actually have gotten more of a tuition aid grant money than Montclair, which I don't think is fair. And if you're interested in anything I said, I know it's a lot of kind of government politics, and it's a lot of just like funding, and I tried to make it funny shifts, but If you're interested, please speak at the tuition hearing. I would love to see as many students as possible speak. You could also stop by my office in Sork. I generally run around the Student Center from 2:30 to 8:30 on Tuesdays. You could also send me an email beforehand on if you want to stop by, you want to talk about this, or if you just want to learn more. I ramble a lot, and I would absolutely be willing to ramble for 40 minutes about TAG and about budgets and all that good stuff. You could also send me an email. My email address is studenttrustee@montclair.edu. I also run around campus a lot, so say hi if you see me. And so once again, say it with me. Tuition hearing, April 10th at 11 a.m. And my email, studenttrustee@montclair.edu. Perfect, now you know it. So, there's one last, just funny.
All right. This is phenomenal. Does anyone have any questions for Nikita? Kevin.
The site or the thing that you're saying that we can do an online submission for a question.
Yes.
Is that on the PowerPoint or is that something you'd be giving out at a certain time?
Beautiful question. I should have included it. So the administration sends out emails. It'll usually be the subject header. It'll be like BOT hearing or board trustees hearing. Tuition hearing, something like that, and that's when they'll have the email address you could send a comment to, or they'll have a link or something like that. So right now, I don't know exactly where you can submit it to, but as it gets closer and as the emails start pouring in, I can definitely get that information.
Because I have classroom notes and I would like to
have
some
reference.
Thank you so
like
much.
That.
Evan.
Is this really only for, like, going to take effect for, like, people that are undergrad students for the coming years, or would this impact grad students as well?
Grad students as well. Grad students have spoken at the meeting, and grad students are welcome to speak at the meeting.
Elshima.
About how long is the meeting?
It's nothing. It's a lot shorter than an SGA meeting, so you can definitely sit through it. Usually the full-on Board of Trustees meetings are like 45 minutes at most. With the tuition hearing, that can sometimes be longer depending on how many students speak and how long they speak for. So my hope is that it's a super long meeting because a bunch of students show up and I'm crying tears of joy about the 60-something emails I've sent, and that actually accounted for something. But let's say like 10 students speak, 2 minutes each, 20 minutes of speaking, shuffling around, add 5 minutes, so maybe like 25, 30, an hour, something like that.
Marie.
So a couple of my orgs want to show up, but it's during class period, and so we were wondering if they could show up in periodicals and then sign in so that they can tell the board that they did show up, but unfortunately they couldn't stay for that amount of time.
I love that idea. Definitely, I'll shoot you an email, ask, and see what I can do about that, and I'll get back to, I'll probably email Dean Carter and Vice President Pennington about that, because yes.
Just so you know, we do swipe at that event, so we could help if you needed to. CSI does it.
Okay. Sounds good. So yeah, the idea of maybe changing the order so that the students who need to speak at this time can speak first. I like that. Yes.
Well, certain professors who are known about, let's just say, students who are having financial issues be speaking as well, or no?
Professor speaking.
There's no way of knowing that. Nikita doesn't have that.
Like I'm saying, what I'm saying is, like, if we do know a professor who would like to, can we, like, are they invited to it?
The only professors that I've seen speak is the leader of the union, but I.
For example, like my Spanish professor wants to say something.
Send me an email. I can get back to you on whether or not professors are allowed to speak.
Also something that the SGA is doing to help this, if you want to give a testimony, you want to talk about it, we will provide the space here for you to do that. So if you want to have feedback, you want to like do it in front of us first and for the legislature, I think that'd be a good practicing moment, and you get some nice insightful feedback. Any of Nikita is like 100% willing to do it. She'll look over, right?
Absolutely.
She mentioned she'll look over something you wanted to say. I'll look over it. To get you more comfortable. And the Appropriations Committee, I think it'd be something really interesting for y'all to come up with maybe together or testimony. So we want to see and talk about ways that we can help as well as a student government as a whole. You all have such great individual voices that should be heard at that meeting, but what can we do as an entirety? Maybe to speak on behalf of something.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also encouraged the organizations and to students interested in speaking to use their personal stories. Personal stories are powerful, or use friend stories, or find common themes among friend stories, but also to find some statistics, because a lot of the board are financial people, they're numbers people. Numbers are something they can handle. Numbers are something that speak to them, but I think that is most powerful when you have statistics on your side saying, well, my story isn't uncommon. There will be a lot of students with a similar story. So being able to weave in the personal and the political is something that I think would be a very powerful address.
Awesome. Anything else for Nikita? Thank you so much for coming and giving that wonderful presentation.
So, April 10th, 11 a.m., and student trustee at Montclair.edu.
Woo! Jack.
Smile.
Okay, today on programming. This is the last day for programming constitution stuff. Wow. I just want to make one thing. I would like you all to give such a big round of applause to Jack and the committee for putting this together. So, where do we go from here? This is the last time we're discussing Article 6 and Article 7. And again, this is a time to talk, to rumble, you know, whatever you want to do to get everything that you want to say out. Because after this meeting, the committee will submit a bill. It's already submitted a bill for this ratification. It's in your new business. It's a new business, and it will be voted on. The date is not going to be next week to be voted on. We will let everyone know so we can get a big group of people here to really advertise this. But this is the last time where we have a space where it's predominantly SGA members to really discuss what we want to put out there. Remember, this will be going, if you vote on it, but on the ballot as a referendum question to amend this vital document. Hopefully, you have the power to vote, not me. Any questions?
We got it, kid.
Thanks. So, how's everyone doing? Thank goodness. This is the last day, constitution revisions. And then, to spoil your moment, we have the statues after this, so I'm not excited for that. I'm going to die, probably.
Oh, Jack. I did all of that work.
All right. So, we are on Article 6. So, first thing is what we're going to talk about is the initiative. I'm going to read this out loud, try not to be mundane about it. The student body shall have the power to initiate by petition any act within the power of legislature. Such a petition must be signed by 500 qualified students and submitted to the President of SGA. The President of SGA, upon determining law is in good order, shall introduce said proposal as a bill to the legislature. If an initiative petition for a law is introduced to the legislature, a vote shall be taken within 30 days upon enactment of such law in the form of in which it stands such petition. If the legislature fails to act within 30 days and if such petition is completed by filing with the President of SGA not earlier than 1 month following the 30-day period, then the President of SGA shall submit such proposed law to the people in not less than 10 or more days, or more than 21 days. Public notice of such election shall be given not less than 7 days before it shall take place. A majority of votes casted at the election, providing that at least 5% of the student body vote, shall be sufficient to pass the bill. Wow, that's a mouthful. So first, let me ask you this. Does anyone know what's an initiative? I see some knows. Okay, so basically initiative is the power given to the student that they can contact the SGA president and saying that they want a certain law to be passed from the students themselves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So after reading all that, your minds are probably blanked. So first step, an individual student can bring a law with 500 signatures. They can't just bring it, go to the SGA president and say, hey, I want this law to be passed. No, they have to have 500 signatures first. And then there's a procedure between the president of SGA and the legislature, which is now called the Senate, if you must. These different amount of days that need to be taken place, and frankly, I lost count because there's too many of them. I don't know which is which, but besides the point, that there has to be a certain amount of days that needs to be put in place after the signatures are taken and presented to the SGA of the president SGA, and then
The president presents it to the student body overall, and it must receive 5% of the vote in order for this initiative to be passed and to become a law. So let me ask you this, does that amount seem fair? Because originally it was 20%, and 20% is very high and unachievable. So.
Well, we hope just achievable for this one time.
Let us pray, yeah.
Or think.
Yes.
So we don't have to stop and say it every time. If it says legislature, should we just assume that you're going to change it to say Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Attorney General will definitely make the change. So.
Wait, if it says legislature again, we don't have to.
Yeah, just like in your head, just switch it. Scott.
5% of the student body would be about how many students?
890.
Okay.
How many students?
Like 890. Yeah, but it will be risen in the upcoming tech. That percent obviously will increase depending on the university's enrollment, or decrease depending on the university's enrollment.
You mean the amount, the percent.
Correct. Yes. So it's right now it's about 800 something, but it will fluctuate because it's a percentage.
So is everyone good on that? All right. Because it gets trickier from here. Here's a referendum. So there's the difference between initiative and referendum is that referendum is power given to the student based on a law that's already passed or existed. Initiative is the power given to the student that they can create laws in a sense. Referendum is when they can repeal a law. Like if there's a law existed and if students didn't like it at all, they can repeal it. So, here's what it says. The legislator, or Senate, shall have the power to submit to the student body for an election any bill or issue it feels the students should act upon for a final decision. The election shall be held at times determined by the Senate, says here's legislators, but not exceeding 10 calendar days. Public notice of such election shall be given not less than 70 days before it shall take place. The Constitution can be amended with 3/4 majority vote, providing that at least 5% of the student body voted. The Constitution can be amended at a maximum of once per academic year. So, I don't know why. Where's the mouse? Oh, there it is. Okay, so one of the revisions is that instead of 70 days, it will be changed to 30 days, so that's 1 month. 70 days, that's really long and unachievable. We just need to revise that. Does anybody oppose to that?
1 second, check.
What?
1 second.
Okay.
Not for that one, though.
It can't be.
Oh, come on. That's for recall. Go ahead, Jack. Just go ahead.
Elshbrock.
I don't see it here, so I'm assuming there's no way to block a referendum.
Can you say that one more time?
No way to block a referendum, because sometimes a student can come up with a ridiculous idea.
Yeah, you just don't vote on it. You vote it down.
By the student body voting it down.
The legislature votes it down.
Oh, okay.
So this is like, again, the Constitution's like, in the statutes it says specifically how a referendum and the election rules, specifically how a referendum, you're gonna see them today, but it's a petition, it's a referendum petition, right, with the signatures, is different on the one we use. No, it's fine here. So they submit the referendum, it's 150 signatures, that's a petition, explains the question, what needs to go on the ballot, and then it's brought to you in the form of a bill. So you guys approve of it. Before it goes on the ballot, the legislature does, which is what the process you will be seeing today. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, does anybody oppose changing 70 days into 30 days? I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah. Do you want
to
suggest the edit?
Yeah, I have to do that.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, 30 days, And then the next clause we added was the constitution can be amended with 3/4 majority vote, providing that at least 5% of the student body voted. The constitution can be amended at a maximum of once per academic year. So basically the constitution needs to be revisited every single year to be discussed, to discuss any changes that need to be made and all that good stuff. So is there an objection to that? No. Great.
Where's everyone?
All right, so in committee, we talked about getting rid of the power of recall. Now, recall is the power given to the student body of removing the official out of position. That's what recall is. The committee decided to delete this paragraph because if you think about it, in the student government, there's a process called impeachment. So there's really no need for a process of recall. If you don't really like someone in the SGA, you can contact a legislator or senator at this point, or the attorney general. You can contact anyone basically and say, hey, listen, this problem, I don't like this person. Let's start the impeachment process right there. Well, not that simple, but you know, you get the idea what I'm saying.
If they do something wrong.
Yes. Scott.
So then what's the difference between recall and impeachment?
The difference here is a student body, not you. So you are the Senate / legislature in this precise moment. The student body. So anyone who is a member of the SGA, which is an undergraduate student, can submit a petition to remove an elected official. However, which we was talking about in committee, the submission process is kind of null, because anybody, as Jack said, can submit a statement to the Attorney General saying that the person has violated or has not completed XY position stated by our statutes. So our statutes say that if there is an instance of misfeasance, nonfeasance, or malfeasance, the Attorney General gets that report, and then they determine exactly what it says in the next steps, whether or not it's actually a help gets held, and that's what's done in judicial court. So, to explain that, Scott. Yes.
Okay. So, point of information. Louder. Point of information to the executive vice president. So recalls, they will go through judicial court if it got carried out.
The way it's written right now, the process that's after recall, it doesn't make any sense. No, because the way it's written is that the Attorney General gets to determine whether or not it holds up. So it actually doesn't say that they have to go through judicial court in order to get removed, like every other position needs to be. It just says that.
But the difference between a recall and an impeachment is that the recall is done by the student body.
Correct. So, with recall, if elected to keep it, the student body gets that opportunity to remove someone. The procedure that follows needs to change to how we actually function in judicial court, so that the petition gets submitted to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General decides whether or not to prosecute. That's how the procedure would have to be worded. But it says right now that they direct the special election, and special elections doesn't even determine whether or not to remove someone. You cannot have a special election like that. You're not electing anyone, you're removed. So it doesn't make any sense, the procedure. Erica.
If this section is taken out, will a member of the student body that is not
yes.
a legislator or whatever, would they be able to still
yes.
do this?
Correct. So one person can just do this, not 25% of
the constituents.
Correct. So just one person can
do this. So honestly, removing this makes it easier.
Correct.
Okay.
Because say for one, if one student saw that someone like did something wrong, like I stole, I don't know, that's actually a criminal offense. I didn't show up to these meetings, right? But like obviously more people would notice that I didn't show up. Okay, but like if one person just noticed it, right? So this room would not fit that. So if you all saw that I didn't show up, according to this, you don't have enough people to
remove me or impeach me. Does that make sense?
Right.
So it makes it how our statutes are written with judicial court is a much easier way to start a process of removal.
And so it doesn't need to be in the Constitution?
My opinion, it does not need to be. Elsewhere.
But isn't the means of removal for recall different than the means of removal for a normal impeachment process? Because the way I read it, as soon as they get the signatures, the student body automatically removes, and then it votes on two new people to take the place. That's what the ending part means.
Correct. But our statutes have a different judiciary procedures.
For impeachment, right?
And removal, both of them. So in the statutes, the disciplinary procedures, it says any elected, petitioned, or appointed officer can be up on judicial court for removal. Impeachment only is the elected officers. That's the president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, and the justice if they're elected into it.
Board of trustees, too.
I think it's fair to remove it. I think that if one, I think with the people on campus now, anybody will sign a packet without even really knowing what they're signing. And if somebody had something out against a person, they can go and have them get 500 signatures, and then they're automatically removed from office versus going through a process, like the statutes say. So, I mean, personally, I think it's a good idea to remove it, but that's just my opinion.
I do understand what you're saying, Elshema, that they could be removed right away by the student body. However, when you have one person, just the Chief Justice, determining if the packet's in good order, a lot of room for ambiguity. Like, what does that mean? That they all signed it? Does that mean that it's, that the claims were germane? Did they have an investigation? You're basically removing someone without any judiciary proceedings except two individuals, the Attorney General and the Chief Justice. And obviously the student body too, right? So obviously you're having more individuals, but there's no, as it stands right here, the appeal decision is not even factored in. They cannot appeal. They've been removed. And that's a big problem that I have with that. I can give everyone a petition that no one knows what they're signing. I can give it to the Chief Justice who, the petition's in good order, everything's correct. They all signed it, and it leaves so much interpretation for them to determine what's in good order, and then I'm removed. Even like, wait, I didn't actually do this. So it kind of takes away that fairness of a judiciary system, I think, out of it. My opinion.
Well, that's a good conversation. So does anybody object to removing this? Can we move on?
Great. Last thing will be Article 7, the Student Government Association Fee. I'm so happy. The Student Government Association Fee shall be $3.26 per credit for all part-time undergraduate students and full-time undergraduate students. Yeah, okay. So, I'll give the floor to James, since he did the math for this.
I didn't do the math for this, just a clarification.
Okay.
Point of information to anybody who can answer, what is the current SGA fee for undergraduate students? Per credit.
Correct.
Okay.
Follow-up question.
This conversation again. $326 per credit up to 12. From 12 to 18,
yes.
It's a flat rate of 15, as if you were taking 15 credits.
Yes.
So it's $48.90 comes out to it.
Okay.
So it's technically, it's executed not as it's written right now with the.
Okay.
Yes.
So this was just meant to update it to how it's working now.
No, I don't know why it should say a flat rate of $48.90 for.
Clarify for when we were in committee yesterday, we were very confused because
you did the math and it didn't make sense.
We had conflicting reports about people who took more than 15 credits were getting charged more.
Yes, they will get charged more if they're taking 19.
No, like over 15. They were taking 18 credits and apparently they were getting charged
okay.
more than 49.
They should not have been charged more. Let's get anyone else. You're taking 16 credits, Ariana.
I'm pretty sure I'm taking 18 credits right now, but
yeah. I just checked my bill from when I took 18 too, and
it's
it was 48.90. Anyone else did you anyone else come across? You yes, you could check your nest, sure.
Yeah.
As long as you're checking your nest.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
Doesn't this have to be approved by the Board of Trustees if we're changing it?
We are not changing it.
So we're just trying to make it more clear.
No, we are. How it was written before was wrong. How it operated.
I understand.
Because again, when you take 16 credits, it should check your nest. You should not be paying an extra 326 per that credit.
I understand.
So that we're just making it how it operates currently. But we're not changing the price or anything. Did anyone have any? Nick, do you check your nest?
No, I have a question about it.
Okay.
So like it's 326 per credit until it gets to 48.90, and then that's a flat rate. Like, I'm just confused.
So from zero, from 1 to 12, you went take zero. From 1 to 12 credits,
yeah.
It's 326 per credit. That's the rate, right?
Yeah.
From, sorry, 1 to 11. From 12 credits to 18 credits, it's a flat rate of 48.90.
So then what is, can I?
Yeah. Is yours higher?
Yeah, mine's for this semester 52.16.
How many credits?
I'm taking 18.
I just checked mine, 18, and I have 48.90. Okay.
Semester,
I don't know what's going on then.
Last semester I took 17 or 18 credits and had the 48.90 on my account, so it's.
Okay, so that's great. Anyone else? Can you check your nest if you're taking Jarell?
Same. I'm taking 18 credits in mine. 15.
Okay, great. But 17 credits. Good, we have no answer. Okay. So we will adjust this once we do the bill. We'll anyone else getting
I'm trying to look.
Mine is accurate as of right now.
Do you know how to find it on
that? Yeah, I'm
it's student accounts.
Yeah.
Bills. And then it says it there. It should say student gov associate fee. Okay. If you can find it, just send me an email about because I have no clue what's going on, clearly, then. This was me speaking to the Associate Dean of Students, so I don't know now. Yeah, it should, let's see, what do you got? Term, go down. It should be here per, okay, ready? Fall, spring. They actually send it through your email now. Student accounts send you like a PDF of what it looks like now also. So whatever, we don't need to do that now. But
mine's
yeah.
correct.
Mine's correct too.
You're, wait,
18,
how many? 18? What is it?
$48.
Okay, so we clearly have, they're charging us more. Good. So
like that's actually really messed up though.
Yeah. Okay. Vincent, they're charging us different prices per credit. If that's something you can look into for us. Yes.
As of fall, I was taking 16 credits,
yep.
And it was still 48.
Good. Okay. But you're taking how many this semester?
18.
You're taking 18, and you're taking 18. You're getting 48. You're getting 52.
I'm actually 19 credits.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. Mine?
That's what I thought. Okay. So, Jarell, are you taking 18 or are you taking 19? Good. My first answer was right. Vincent, do not talk to anyone. It is correct.
Wait, so what is it?
Yes.
I'm taking
You're taking 12 credits, it's 48.90.
Yeah, mine says.
Good. All right, we're back. We don't need to change anything, it's right.
The way it is?
You gotta take away the, delete the flat rate. Take that out.
This one? It's
yes.
all
out? No, like, remove the removal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also the 326.
Yeah, so what, no, what is 326? But
oh,
what you should write, though, is that after like or after 18 credits, it comes, it's 326 per additional credit.
Wait, what did they say? It was 5260?
Yeah.
So let's do 40. I don't think it's.
No. Do. do 326 times 19.
Or taking over 18 credits?
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
That's even more wrong.
I have 48.
Yeah, the math doesn't work out, so we're just going to leave it, and we're going to come back to it. Because what is it, 52 what? What is it, 52? 60? Because that's not right then. Is it 5270?
It's 5216.
16.
Definitely even wronger.
No. 5216 makes sense.
No, that is
5216.
Okay, look.
52.
That is right.
16.
49
plus 46
is
5216. Yeah. Equals 3 point. Never mind, we're good. Okay. Yeah. So you could put after 18 credits, the fee shall be 326 per additional credit. Everyone good? Are we all together?
Yeah, that makes sense.
After 18 credits, the fee shall be
326 per additional credit. Yes, any questions, Scott?
Should it be a new sentence starting with after 18 credits? Like have a full-time students,
yes.
Period, capital A, after.
Sure. Anyone else have any confusion?
That,
I hope
yeah.
he really clarified this.
And
that,
it should just say per additional credit, not credits.
I was
the last sentence that you just typed.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it should be additional 326 per credit.
You just did per credit.
No. Additional 326 per credit, just credit.
Oh,
no,
instead of after
credit.
8?
Because you still get charged 48.90.
Yeah, but it's 48.90 is not, if you divide it by 320, like if you do the math,
yeah, you get the
credits,
flat rate, and then past 48.90 per credit, you get another 326 charge.
Okay, so shall be 48.90 and 3.26 per additional credit. Yes. Yeah. So wait, no. I got it. He means to break it right here. So after 18 credits, the fee shall be 48.90 and 3.26. And yeah, perfect.
Okay,
we're good.
Just so it's completely clear.
Looks great. Okay. Well, that was awesome. Thank you for checking your nest and telling me. FERPA.
Is it right?
Whoa! All right. Does everyone agree? We
yes.
agree. Okay. So let me just be clear. We are not going to talk about raising the rate, right?
No.
Because we disagree. Okay. Good. Just. Totally.
We say that for April 10th, right?
April 10th. Yeah, discuss it with them. Okay, that's it. You, Jack.
Jack's gonna cry.
Okay, you still have a bill to do.
We still have
everything. All right, let's get together, guys. We're moving on.
Moving on. Okay. We're gonna do speaking through statues bill for 21. If you wanna get that ready.
Okay, moving from programming into unfinished business. You all are super attentive, and I appreciate that. Yes, aware. The Attorney General can remove me now. Now considering bill number S-2019-021, speaking through silence, Cupsy.
Be it enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas speaking through silence, SPS, a class 2 of the Student Organization Association would like to attend the College Union's Poetry Slam on April 10th to 13th, 2019, at the University of Houston, and whereas the members of SPS have qualified for 10 cups and will gain valuable knowledge they will bring back to MSU, and whereas there is currently not enough funds for a budget for them to attend this event, be it resolved that STS receives $3,727 from an unappropriated surplus in order to attend the cups side. Submitted by Serafina Argenis, SPA President, February 26, 2019. Breakdown. The registration fee is $840, transportation plane is $1,835, housing is $1,052, total is $3,727.
Office report.
I'm going to defer to Vincent. It's been a day.
All right, so basically, my people at SCS are going to CUPSI. And I strongly believe that because the goal to CUPSI represents Montclair State University, and they don't have enough money in their budget to fund. Over the past few years, they've been going by themselves. They've been raising money. They've been showing that they, you know, they really want to do this thing, and they put their heart into it. And they fund for it any way possible. So when they told me their story and how they do well and represent MSU, I was like, it's only fair that we give them the help that they need. Hence, why we went to the e-board, and we agreed that we should support them.
And then point of clarification, this is neither supplemental nor emergency appropriations. They do not qualify it. They are a class 2 organization. This is an appropriations bill free from those two parameters. Just want to make that super clear. Questions for the author? Alshma.
Is this, well, because I know that as the day gets closer, prices increase, so are these estimates?
Accurate.
Are they accurate, or do
you
need more money?
No, they're accurate.
Okay. Any other questions for the authors? Okay. Organization report.
Do I just explain?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm AJ. I'm the president of STS. Basically, each year, we have, throughout the fall semester, a bunch of these things called slam poetry competitions. I don't know if anyone knows what those are, so I'll explain real quickly. Basically, a bunch of poets get together and tell their feelings to a group of people, and those people judge them.
on their feelings.
5 people out of that group judge them on their emotions and everything. And basically, we've had a bunch of competitions where MSU students have come out and performed and got judged, and 5 people were deemed to be the top at our university. And each year, basically, they go somewhere in the country to perform against schools from all over the country and also internationally, so it is an international competition. The previous years we've won, we've come top 15, top 5, over and over again, and basically it's been a struggle to send a team every year. You know, people have been fighting tooth and nail to get their tickets, get their housing, get transportation there while they're there. It's been really tough, and we just wanted to ask for some help this time around.
Questions for the organization? Ariana.
How many people does this pay for to attend?
So there are 5 team members and there are 2 coaches, so 7.
So, follow up. So this $3,727 for registration, the transportation, and the housing covers all 7 of those people?
Yes.
Nick.
Where is the slam event this year?
Oh, this year, it's in Houston, at the University of Houston, actually, in Texas.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, from the 10th to the 13th of April.
Any other questions? Nick?
Did you raise money, and is this like partial, like the rest of the amount that you need, or is this the...
We are raising money because we also have to pay the coaches.
Yeah.
Which is almost like basically
yeah.
the same amount
yeah.
that we need to go on the trip, because these are people who are basically taking time out of working, taking time out of their days to be with the team at least 5 days out of the week to actually help us.
Any other questions for the organization? Committee report.
This bill received a 130 negative recommendation.
Please elaborate on the confusion in committee and the negative recommendation.
So when we were talking to the organization in committee, they told us that they already purchased their plane tickets, and there is a part in the statutes that says you can't be reimbursed for appropriations that you've already spent. So.
And the other part of that?
Unless it is approved by the SGA treasurer. So I went to speak with the treasurer, and it was unclear whether or not they were approved. But I'll defer to Vincent if he can have any clarification.
Yes. So there was miscommunication. There was, because he spoke to me about the bill. After we spoke about the bill, I told him that how it's going to work is that because we only use checks, he was going to have to go out of pocket and then get reimbursed for certain things that he can't use checks to pay for. As to the time, as to when you get it before or after the bill was passed, it wasn't clear enough. So with tickets hiking up with, or ticket not being stable for know, transportation for plane, he went ahead to get it when it was cheapest for them. And so that was before, you know, today. So I'm agreeing that they get reimbursed for it because the situation wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if I could just add to that, the tickets actually came in lower than like what we actually asked for, like a whole lot lower. So that's kind of what we're...
And we're going to adjust.
Adjust.
Okay. The price for the total based on the... Got it. Okay. Any questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill. Ariana.
I know that SCS goes to Cup C every year and they place very, very high every year, and every year they come up for help or something in regards to help to Cup C. And it's a really great competition, so I think it's awesome that they're going again.
Jack.
So I was the only one who voted in favor. the TUI organization and committee, I highly applaud them, commend them, because they were very organized. I don't think they should be penalized because of the whole executive treasurer authorization. I do believe that's some miscommunication, that I'm glad that it got ironed out, so I highly commend you for that. Have fun.
Point of information to the organization, do you have the final price for the tickets?
Do
you
have the final price for the tickets?
What is that price? Yeah, and I'll take another question while you look that up. Scott.
I'm not exactly sure who to address this to. So I just want to be clear that all the legal aspects of this bill have been worked out and everything's like good with that.
Oh. Defer to the Attorney General.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all good. It's fun. All right. We're going to move into, okay, Jack.
So, because he's looking up for new prices, does that mean to go back to author's report?
Yeah, I was going to do that, but yeah, you can do that. No, you. I'm here for it. Yeah, Jack.
So, can we go back to author's report?
No, an author's report.
Just give me a second.
Pressure's on. Anyone else have any last closing? No, you're ready to vote. Are you still looking? Are you nervously,
yeah,
frantically? Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short 5-minute recess. So we totally okay. Can someone motion to postpone? Yeah.
Motion to postpone
the consideration
of this bill.
Is there a second?
Second.
The bill. I didn't do the recess. The bill has been postponed. 5-minute recess. We're back at 4:49. P.
Oh, you were thought of. Yeah,
because she's literally like, if
you just take me one and kind of charge it.
Because it's like a chisel. It's like,
you'll
hear about
it.
Yes! I look big, but like, you're
like,
he'll come here.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna
do that.
No, not us. No, it was
So that's my way.
Yeah. My email? Okay.
It's recording.
Can you just put for tomorrow the one with the RD and ND for third? I sent you the new one.
For tomorrow, what do you mean? Oh no, it can't. It has. You have to send it yourself. And it has to be put into your committee. That's next week. You ready?
Yes.
Yeah. What time is it? Oh, we have 2 minutes.
That's interesting.
So we tried to get you to.
Emma?
That's why okay.
Yes.
We got 92.5 on that. Micro.
I know.
Yeah, 3
can
points.
You just,
yeah.
Can you
guys
just
come
in?
Like, why are you busy? Can you give me a reason why you can't come?
I mean, still though.
I say we complain to Martin and get extra time.
I don't have to close your eyes. I say formal amendment. Do I need to motion for that? You've already asked
motion.
For
yeah, motion
yes.
To make a formal amendment.
Yeah,
we're part of
but yeah.
Okay, great.
We're almost there. How much?
1 minute.
1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute.
So, like, what happens when I have to leave for a time class?
Wait, so
the meeting will be over.
Right.
Yeah, what time is it? 4:40 or
so? It's 4:50.
Yeah, well.
Well, I gotta
okay.
Leave, but,
all
right, like,
let's ready? Ready? James, are you ready? Are we ready? Tell me.
No,
you got the statues out. Why are the statues out?
I don't have enough battery on my computer for this.
Oh, I have the wrong
I need to use my computer.
Oh, then use this computer.
Sorry about
that.
There's one more. We have 1 more minute.
30 seconds.
Everyone sit down. We're almost going to reconvene.
I don't think there are enough people here. Like 4 people went downstairs.
No, we're here. We're ready. Oh, we just don't have the...
I think that's outside. Go get him.
You can call it.
I didn't chance.
I can't call without him.
He's around the corner.
Primo?
Yeah, he's right around the corner. You go around.
Giovanna?
Hello.
Meeting reconvened at 4:49 p.m. I'm going to look at the returners. You know what to do. Ariana.
Motion to reconsider bill number S-2019-021.
Is there a second?
Second.
Now reconsidering bill number S-2019-021. We don't need to read it again. Author's report.
Motion to make a formal amendment.
Continue.
So in the resolution, please change the $3,727 to $3,075.04. And then in the breakdown, change transportation from $1,835
to $1,183.04.
Is there a second?
Second.
We need 2/3 majority vote in order for this formal amendment to be adopted. All those in favor?
He Can you change
point of parliamentary procedure, she changed the total as well.
Sorry.
Nope. Okay. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Amendment has been made. Again, for those of you who weren't here for my beginning, no phones or you're out. Okay, sorry. Anything else in office report? We're going to move on to debate and discussion on this bill. Anything else in debate and discussion? Seeing none, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for this bill to be passed. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Also, just real quick, on the 24th of March, we'll be having an event in University 1010. It'll be a big slam, a regional slam. Some of the teams that will be at Cup C in the Northeast region will be there.
Okay.
And you'll get to see the team perform.
You're so great.
All right, it's great.
Thank you.
Time.
Yes.
Time? Oh, it'll be from...
Oh, I thought he was saying
like
3-6. Okay. All right. Now considering bill number S2019-015, dining services cross contamination.
Be it enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that, whereas the Food Advisory Committee, otherwise known as the Dining Committee of the Student Government Association, would like to require dining services to be more cautious about cross-contamination at all the dining locations on campus, and whereas it has come to the Dining Committee's attention that the dining location on campus, including but not limited to Grill Nation and Panda Express, are not being cautious of cross-contamination practices by cooking different food groups on the same grills and the same oils. This affects the portion of the student body which allows certain dietary guidelines, including but not limited to kosher, halal, gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, other allergens or restrictions, etc. Be it resolved that dining services applies in an area in every dining location that is specifically used for these food restrictions by either proper sanitizing a portion of the old equipment and no longer using it for all the food groups by keeping the equipment separate, or that they purchase new equipment which can be used to for these food groups. Submitted by Jamie Bacher, Chair of Dining Committee, February 7th, 2019.
Author's report?
Motion to take authorship of this bill.
Is there a second?
Second.
Evan, you are now the author. So,
I got it.
Do you want to talk about a committee, how this came up, genesis?
A month ago? It was brought up during the FDA meeting. We brought it up at the committee meeting, and we decided to write a bill, I think, that night on it. You guys have heard about it already, but we're looking to enact something that will cause a solution to this, hopefully.
Questions for the author? There's no organization here to report, but I do have to say that Montclair State Dietetics Organization is in full support of this, Montclair Animal Activists, and I think those are the only two that like ask me to speak on their behalf, but I bet other organizations are as well. Committee report.
If I remember correctly, I think it was a 400 positive.
Yes. Questions for the committee? Jack.
In committee, did you guys, did the members calculate the cost behind this?
No, so we debated a few different options that went around with this. This was, could I just take a look at the way it was worded? Sorry. The way it's worded, we kind of aren't sure if they're going to have to buy anything or if they already have the stuff in the back. It just depends on if they already have the material there.
So this bill can potentially cost $0 for dining services. That's why there was a dual option in the resolution, so that they can just section off something, which would cost them nothing, and clean it and properly attend to it. Or they can purchase something. I know Jamie spoke to me about, creating a cost and having the SGA
pay a portion of it, but this was ultimately decided that it should be the university. If they are serving these options and it's their decision to do that, then it's their obligation to make it proper and acceptable for all of those food groups that are mentioned. So possibly zero or possibly more, depending on what equipment they choose to purchase to accommodate for this. But this is just a recommendation that the university does this. James.
Have you guys met with anybody from the university to make sure that this change happens?
I don't actually know that. I know I personally didn't. I don't know if Jamie or anybody else in the committee did. So I'm sorry.
This was mentioned to the... Let me borrow this now. The facilities workers and dining services, like this was, so the people that were actually handling the food, and they were told that, like, the people that are in charge of them did not educate them on proper food handling procedures, which I found odd. So I spoke to a couple people. I went around and asked specifically with their vegan food and Impossible Burger and Panda Express as well. So they said they were not aware of it. Tried to have a meeting with Jim Robinson. Period. Did not get back on this topic. Ariana.
I want to wait for debate and discussion.
Got it. Any other questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill. Ariana.
Going back to, 2 years ago, the referendum question in the elections was to have vegan and like food-inclusive options and stations in Sam's Place in Fremont. Yeah. And even though that was voted on then, it took a while for it to come to fruition because it has to, like, go through stuff. So even if this does get passed now, it just means that the SGA is supporting that this happens. It doesn't mean that it has to happen. So even if this is passed and then the meetings are set up and discussed, it still could come to fruition.
Absolutely.
And it's going to take time no matter what. So, I mean, personally, I think it's a good idea for us to support a bill like this, even though it's not fully done yet.
Yeah. As legislators, your job is not to focus on the precise logistics. Your job is to focus on if it's plausible, if it can happen, if there's a way to do it. And obviously by meeting and having a discussion and education on proper food handling procedures, that this could come to fruition. So the exact who does what locations, you know, marketing this, et cetera, educational aspect, that's up to the executive branch of the SGA to figure out how to implement the legislation.
Follow up to what I said. And it could even be something as simple as, like, this section of the grill is only for this part, this food. Like, it could be something that could start now and continue down the line. So,
And again, a lot of dining halls do observe this. So in Sam's, the allergen-friendly station is legit. They do not have other items. And Freeman. So there are places that do adhere to this.
So I didn't actually write this. So, like, I something that I'm aware of. What somebody I'm very close with, they have a really bad allergy to MSG where they can't eat Panda without asking for it special. So this person does actually go up and say, hey, I have this allergy. But not everybody's aware that they can do that. I guess after it was written, I kind of was like, oh, we could have written something like this, which was post down that policy, because they have made special orders just for this person instead of saying we can't help you because we use all the pots and pans all the same.
Nick.
Can I just say something that was talking? Because last time I went to Sam's and I got pasta and they just used the same spoon for every thing that I asked for, like the chicken.
You weren't in the allergy friendly station.
No.
This is what I mean, that they've followed, it's specific to their allergy friendly station. But this bill would say that they need to be more careful when,
like,
it comes to...
More trained, like, that's...
Correct, yeah. It's this... However, they... What I meant, like, they do, they... 100%. There is a vegan and allergy station, which is eggs, shellfish, meat, dairy. I'm missing one more thing. And gluten. they don't prepare it with Luda in the pans. They will do it like separately. So that is a specific statement that they do follow this, but again, no. This is saying like education, right?
Yeah.
Cross contamination is a thing that we should be aware of. Okay. Anything else in debate and discussion? Seeing no, we need a 2/3 majority vote on or if this bill to pass, all those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. You're good. Okay. We're just gonna know where she went. Did she tell you where she went? Nope. Now considering bill number S-2019-018 Dining Committee Survey. Sorry, I haven't come on back up. She's not here yet. Is anyone allergic to dogs?
No, I'm not coming over.
Oh, okay. Hi.
No, I'm just hypoallergenic.
Oh, okay. So now considering bill number S-2019-018 Dining Committee Survey. Yeah, we're in a meeting right now. Sorry. Okay. You got it.
Be it enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association, Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas the Food Advisory Committee, otherwise known as the Dining Committee of the Student Government Association, would like to survey students regarding kosher and halal options off campus, and whereas this survey would provide the insight required to better accommodate students' dietary needs, be it resolved that the attached SGS survey will be made available to the entire undergraduate campus community from March 1st to March 15th through Hawkins. Survey attached. Submitted by Jamie Bacher, Chair of Dining Committee, February 14th, 2019. Please, the following survey to help better the inclusivity of dining options at MSU. Would you eat kosher halal food offered on campus, yes or no? Would you prefer to eat kosher halal on campus, yes or no? Should there be a fully kosher halal kitchen on campus, yes or no?
Author's report.
Motion to take ownership of this bill.
Is there a second?
Sorry.
Evan, you are now the author of this bill. I know that you would like to make a formal amendment in the resolution. Would you like to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, motion to make a formal amendment.
Motion to make a formal amendment.
Continue.
March 1st to March 15th to March 19th to April 2nd.
Got it.
Right after spring. It would be right after we come back from spring break rather than immediately now to allow people more... to allow the publicity to come out a little better.
Could you also make a formal amendment for the sentence to say survey below?
All right.
Where it says survey.
You know how we say breakdown attach?
Yeah.
It just will say survey.
All right, motion to...
Yes, motion to make a formal amendment.
To do that?
Just say after, just repeat after me, because I can't make the... Yes, Ariana.
Motion to make a formal amendment in the resolution where it says survey attached, it should state survey below with a colon?
The resolution's fine. The actual part of the power of the survey.
Yeah.
Got it.
So motion to make a formal amendment under the signature and submitted by, it should state survey below with a colon above where the survey is.
Is there a second?
Second?
In order to make this formal amendment, we need 2/3 majority vote. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Amendment has been made. Okay. Anything else on author's report?
I know a little bit, I know a lot more about this one. As a Jewish student myself, and friends that do keep kosher and or halal, depending on their religion, there aren't many opportunities available on this campus. A few years back, they brought two or three kosher options into the C store, but it was food that was not too good because it would sit in the little fridges for days and get really soggy because it was like egg salad and tuna fish. It didn't really work out too well. I know personally for myself during the holiday of Passover, which is coming up in about a month, it's very difficult because a lot more Jewish students do try to keep kosher for that week, and it is near impossible to keep kosher on this campus. I also know that it is very difficult for halal students as well. Many kosher and halal students on this campus actually will keep vegan and vegetarian for the year while they're here because they can't eat anything else, and some people physically get in really bad shape and or not healthy throughout the year.
Any questions for the author? Committee report.
I believe this was also a
4-0-0. Questions for the committee, which is just Evan at this point. Debate and discussion on this bill. Ariana.
I think it's, this is my opinion, I think it's silly to send out this survey. The questions are not very specific, and I think that if the SGA is making a stance on food inclusivity, it's more effective for us to write a bill that states that we support having a kosher and halal kitchen on campus instead of just sending out this survey, because we know there are students who are affected by this. It shouldn't matter if it's 2 students or 200 students. We should be serving all the students on campus.
Elshima.
I would just like to point out that having numbers to back up that claim might be useful. So I think the survey would be good.
Jarrell.
I would like to say that the survey is a good idea, but maybe rewording the question. Questions will be more effective. It's kind of, like, again, it could be 10 students who want this, but like everybody else who don't eat kosher or halal would just say yes or no, just because, you get me? So kind of like rewording the questions would be better.
My personal opinion, 1 and 2 should stay, 3 can go, because you want to know, one, the one should be, do you eat kosher halal food, period, question mark, then the second one would, you know, etc. Yeah,
Or it should say, do you eat a kosher halal food for religious purposes, or something along those lines, so that we, if we are sending this out, we know that they are mandated to eat it by their religious beliefs, versus like, would you eat it? Like, if it's offered to, like,
yeah, maybe instead of would to do, do you eat kosher halal food offered on campus? Okay, great.
Well, it's not offered really on campus, so that's,
yeah. It's Islamic religion that they have to follow. Okay, hold on. Are we going to be discussing the questions right now? Or is, like, some totally, like, different? Because no. We can discuss the questions. I'm just wondering. No. Okay, hold on. You want to change the question. Nod. Want to change a question. Charisse, want to change a question.
Well, it's like, I feel like kosher and halal food wasn't offered on campus to begin with, so should, like, the question now be just taken out completely?
It is offered on campus and packaged. Kosher food.
Still is?
Yes, it still is. I checked. It still is offered on campus. Kosher food is still offered on campus. Halal?
No.
Unless it's vegan, which is, hits both kosher and halal. But no, not specifically halal food is not advertised. That I see. Anyone see kosher halal food on campus? Yes.
Isn't there a truck up, well, during certain seasons?
Yes, there is a truck during few seasons.
Yeah, so that has isn't it. That, like, well, I know it's cold outside, it wouldn't want to be up there, but especially, like, later on within the spring, so, well, actually when spring starts, do they go back out there? Because it is a halal truck.
I've really seen it on and off. It's not a consistent food at a dining hall, which I think is... Yes, Ariana.
I'm also pretty sure it's not, like, certified halal food. It's just, like, that style of food. Does that make sense?
If they're advertising as halal, they would be legally obligated to actually be halal food. So that would be a different concern that we would have of the university falsely advertising their food.
I don't think it's advertised as halal food. It's the shawarma truck.
It's...
I don't know if this is what I think. This conversation is not very productive because we keep on, like, talking about wording. I think what needs to happen is this needs to be a discussion back in committee, and you adjust the questions there, because right now we're supposed to be voting on it, approving it, passing it, not discussing what the question should say. Ariana.
Motion to not consider this vote
at
this time.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection? Check.
Isn't there a better motion to do that?
No.
No? I thought they could turn my
Any other objections, Scott?
I'm not 100% sure if this is an objection or what, but in survey below it says please the following.
It was amended to survey below.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, is there any other objections? You don't object at the attorney general.
But I'm still legislative.
What is your objection?
I think it's important to get the survey out as quick as possible because there are people on campus that are suffering this, and the more you push it off, the more these people have to deal with it.
Okay. We're going to vote on the objection. If you're for considering the bill, you're going to vote positively for the objection. If you are not, if you would like to consider this bill at a different time, you're voting negatively, right? If you're abstaining, you have no clue what I just said. Okay. All those in favor of the objection and considering the bill at this time?
Wait.
All those in favor of the objection and the consideration of the bill at this time?
Please raise your hands high.
You don't need to count. All those opposed to the objection? All those abstaining? Objection sustains, motion fails. Debate and discussion, Ariana.
So I guess we're going to talk about changing the questions now then.
The committee, right?
So
it was just voted that my suggestion was thrown in the trash. So this is debate and discussion back again.
So I would like to amend some of the questions. Would that be a motion in author's report, or is that...
You could all just suggest it, then we could go back into author's report with the finalized questions.
Okay, so my suggestion for the first question is, do you eat kosher halal food on a daily basis? Because we can't say food offered on campus, because it's either offered in very small quantities or not offered at all.
Okay, I'm just going to type it up so you all can see it, so we don't need to be like, what was that question? What was this question? So just give me a second to pull that up. And a frontal lip.
Instead of it saying, would you eat kosher halal food offered on campus, it should say something along the lines of, do you eat kosher halal food on a daily basis?
I'm just going to write what she said, and then we could adjust it. Okay. James.
I'd like to stretch the question, do you try to maintain a kosher and halal diet?
Yes.
I think the questions are too narrow. It should just be, do you eat kosher or halal food?
I honestly also think that grouping them together is a big mistake. They're not the same thing.
Or
halal. It's different demographics. So if we're using both of them, they should be two separate questions. So I'm going to separate the questions.
So I think a lot of the questions is kind of like being around the bush. I think we should go straight in to ask, like, do you think Montclair should offer more halal and kosher food?
That is?
Yeah.
No,
it says should there be a fully kitchen on campus. I mean, I guess it's the same, but
that's
not.
That's not.
James.
Point of information to the real attorney general. Can you come here so I can go to class?
Yeah, you're up. You're up. You're just temporary. You're the real one. Okay, anyone else? All right. No one else has any other... Do you hate the other questions too? Should we change those questions? Yes.
I do think they should all be yes or no questions.
Sure, yes or no.
No.
I would suppose a yes, not applicable. Maybe, I don't know. Or just,
Jarell. Can I ask a question? When the survey is complete, how is it being sent out? Foxing.
Foxing?
Okay.
Ty.
I don't know if I can, like, say this, but, like, I personally think that the survey should be sent out via email, so that way, like...
Well, it would be on HawkSync. That's our server for surveys, or SurveyMonkey, but HawkSync. We can send out the link through through email, that it's on HawkSync, but, yeah, we can definitely send out. But it will be on... The survey will literally be on HawkSync's platform.
Okay, I was only saying that because me, personally, like, I won't go to HawkSync, like, the actual page, unless there's something, like, through my email to put into it. It's just because I'm busy.
Yeah, the secretary, which is Jill in the back, she would be in charge of the publicity of the survey, so anyone had suggestions or how it should be done, those would be directed towards Jill. Scott.
I'd like to suggest keeping the second question that's in the actual survey, but making it two, so one's kosher, one's halal.
What is the second question?
Do you prefer to eat kosher / halal on campus? But to make it two separate questions, so one be kosher, one be halal, like you've been doing.
Okay. These are really, we're all talking about the same questions here.
Yeah.
I think, do you think Montclair should offer more halal food on campus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It should just, I'm biased right now, that should just be the question. Because these are all like, unless you're asking, do you practice... When we had the referendum question offering the vegan plant-based section, it was not, do you eat plant-based on campus? How many times do you prefer? Do you like the food? It was simply, would you prefer a plant-based section on campus? Because it gave the people who do not practice veganism the opportunity to vote for those who do. Because I do not, and I would, all these would be negative, but I positively want it to be on campus. Ariana.
Motion to consider this bill later in this meeting. There's a reason.
We just motion to consider not at this time.
Huh?
Can you give me a time? It needs to be a definite. We just need an indefinite.
Motion to consider this bill at 5:40.
Or earlier. Great. We need a definite time. That's why. Okay, is there a second?
Second. Okay.
Is there any objections?
Objection.
The president needs to discuss her bills. She must go. So, objection sustained?
It's in order.
Are the objections sustained?
Does that mean
do you want to hold your objection? We have three very important bills that must go up today that she needs to leave for. Great. Yes.
No, I wouldn't say, is there a way to push this the next week or something? Because
if there was, and it was rejected. You can't do a second motion twice. Okay. So
wait.
All right. Stop talking, everyone. Great. I understand a lot of people have class. And the meetings say they go to 5:30. Or pass, depending on circumstances that need to be addressed. So it's just like one. And Jarell, please finish what you were saying.
I was saying, like, a lot of us was confused when you asked, because we thought we was agreeing on committing it being a committee. I thought I was agreeing on top of my committee.
It was a motion to postpone the consideration of this bill. Mm-hmm. That was the motion. And postponing the consideration was indefinite. So there's two different types of motions, postponing indefinitely and postponing definitely. So you can't make the same motion twice. So Ariana suggested a motion to postpone it definitely, and the other one was indefinite. So we can motion to postpone it definitely, but next week. That still can happen, because you're putting 2 weeks, a specific time frame on it. So that motion can still happen. However, we're in the middle of a motion already. So. Ariana, would you like to amend your motion?
Sure. I amend my motion to have this bill considered at the meeting on March 21st, 20th, whatever.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection? We need a two-thirds majority vote in order to postpone the consideration of this bill to March 20th. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill is considered on March 20th.
Okay.
Ariel.
Motion to go into new business.
Is there a second?
Second.
Now in new business. Bill number. I have to place them all into committees first. Bill number S-2019-022, Elections Committee Surplus, be put into Appropriations Committee. Bill number S-2019-023, SGA Referendum Question, Pork Roll v. Taylorham, place into Elections Committee. Bill number S-2019-024, Referendum Question, Constitutional Amendments, be placed into Elections Committee. Bill number S-2019-025, MSDC Supplemental Appropriation, be placed into Appropriations Committee. And Bill number S-2019-026, Constitutional Ratification, be placed into Government Administration Committee. Ariana.
Motion to consider Bill number S-2019-022.
Is there a second?
Sorry.
Now considering Bill number S-2019-022, Elections Committee Surplus.
Need an act by the the Legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas the Student Government Association, SGA, has their annual elections and the Election Committee is tasked with promoting and marketing elections every year, and whereas the Elections Committee has plans to promote the 2019 SGA elections in new and creative ways, and whereas there is not currently enough funds in the elections line to execute all that is planned, be it resolved that $7,600 is moved from unappropriated surplus to the Elections Committee, submitted by Serafina Argenis, SGA President, March 3rd, 2019.
Hello, everybody. So as you know, in the hopes of trying to amend the Constitution, we needed to kind of really hardcore promote our elections. And so we've come up with some really awesome and fun ways, including a second referendum question, which you will see also in a minute, but Pork Roll v. Taylorham. So the SGA is going to take a stance on which it actually is. So just a fun other way to kind of get people, to draw them in to our elections and then also educate them about our Constitution. So I'm going to defer to Emma to allow her to talk a little bit more about the event that the three of us have planned.
Joe, who knows? So we're gonna make this short and sweet for you all. We wanted to be very transparent, and you all have a copy, right? I pass that around.
No.
Good. But you can see it right there.
Same thing.
Of the budget, you can keep it forever. These are all the events that we have planned. This is election. The dates are on them. Please look at the dates. Refer to them for reference. Basically, this is the total number. Is this cost of programming for over 800 students? So, yes, it's a large number. We're also programming for over 800 students across 3 weeks. So that's important to mention. The information about specifics, we've already kind of described it at last week's meeting. Joe went over all the events. We went over the events and what they're about. And we could talk about specifically, itemized things on there.
So I'll just talk about why that one is highlighted, Antonio's event. So for those of you that don't know, Antonio is the, not sure of his exact title, but he runs Commuter Life. So Emma and I contacted him to see if Commuter Life could host an event, co-sponsor with the SGA to really promote the elections. Commuter Life has a huge turnout at their events. So with that being said, Antonio said yes. He sat down with his team to come up with an event. However, it's not all definite yet. However, we did give him, we allotted him $2,500 to work with. So that's why that one's highlighted. Once we have the exact number, we'll enter it. However, of course, just like any other bill, any money that is unused will go back to unappropriate surplus. As you see, it is a hefty amount, $7,600, but when you really break it down, it's not that much money. You have to remember that we have to make the case that we have tried everything in our power to get 3,500 students to vote, that 20% of the undergraduate body. When you break it down, it comes to a couple dollars per person, really, if you want to think about it that way.
Also, it's not emergency or supplement. Oh, sorry, it's not supplemental appropriations. It's emergency appropriations, which is different in the statutes. It basically says that in order to program for this, we just need the funds, which is we only have $281 left in the line because the special elections in the fall had used portion of that to promote the special elections for the debate that they had. So, it's only $500 in the line originally. because no one's programmed for the elections in about 4 years, or like this before. So that's why no one's ever thought of doing it, because it's been something that they've assumed that people would pick up packets and people would vote, but we've seen a steady decline of students getting involved in that regard. Questions for the author? Questions for the elections chair?
I'm sorry to, I'm sorry if you need to repeat this. I was listening, but I wasn't fully there. But what's the question mark? Like,
so that's for Antonio's event. Commuter Life is going to host some type of event. We're not sure exactly the details of it yet. However, we went ahead and allotted $2,500 for it.
He, this was specifically the amount that Antonio,
yes,
like, he asked for, yeah.
Okay.
So he just got back to me through email, so I don't want to open the email in front of you, but I asked him this morning, again, like, hey, any more details, and he gave me an email response.
Okay.
So he definitely has it figured out by now. But again, if we don't use that 2,500, if he falls a little bit short, it does roll back into unappropriate surplus from where it's coming from. A committee report. Ariana.
Motion to discharge committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
We need 3/4 majority vote and more to discharge committee. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Committee is discharged. Debate and discussion on this bill. Does anyone want more clarification about, I mean, I know it's pretty itemized on there, but maybe it's pretty detailed. I just want to make sure we're all 100. Nick.
Are we getting more buds?
Yes.
100 more.
Yes. The Clinton Party had ordered with Casey.
On there.
I left, as you can see,
right.
20.
Right.
Yeah.
Buns are like,
yeah.
25 cents.
Yeah.
Or
so.
Evan, sorry.
For some of, I guess, the stuff, are you able to, like, also mention, like, the expected number of people? Does,
yeah, so a lot of them are here. So the quantity, trivia, 100 people, Taylor Ham, 100 people. Constitutional reform is 50. Yeah, they're all, some say quantity if there's an actual item next to it. If not, the quantity is because the people can be at the event. So yeah, they all are there as well. Nick.
25 cents at 100 is $25, and you
correct.
Have $13.
Yes, we have money.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there was something that we just had purchases fell a little bit under by $10.
And
so we're
going to go into unappropriate. It's going to go to that.
Yeah, so the amount of calculated, something was just changed today. That
yeah.
was $13 less.
And but it does, didn't say that goes back to unappropriated if it falls short.
Okay, I
yes.
know what, no, I know what you're saying, and it's, I confused you. So yes, if whatever we use it falls back. However, I was saying this is not totally accurate. I just got at like 2 o'clock, I got an updated invoice. And it was off, the original price that I put here is off $13, so it's actually $13 less.
Okay.
So the total amount here at the bottom would also account for the $25 that we need for 100 more buttons. Yes.
Okay.
Ty.
The X's are for the paperwork that started.
Yeah, that's just me. Yeah, don't worry about it. It does not mean submitted, it just means I wrote
it's
out.
It's just purely for our end.
Yeah, sorry.
Keep
so this is the one you're the end.
Okay, because I'm like,
yeah, look at columns 8
to 11. Yes, all this paperwork is started because we need we also adhere to the 21 and 14 day rules that all the organizations adhere to, and I need to submit this paperwork immediately after this meeting in order to.
Because I was going to ask you, what about the ones that don't have the X?
They actually all are.
Just,
it's all
yeah,
done now.
You just did.
I just didn't put the X's, but they're all done.
And if anything, there's reimbursements for.
Anything else in debate and discussion? Seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Ariana.
Motion to consider bills number S-2019-023 and
S-2019-024. Is there a second?
Second.
Now considering bill number S-2019-023, SGA referendum question, pork roll v. Taylor Ham.
received an act by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas the Elections Committee received a referendum petition and whereas the referendum question states should the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated endorse pork roll or Taylor ham and whereas the referendum question will aid in the ending of the age-old dispute, be it resolved that this referendum question appears on the 2019 SGA election ballot submitted by Ariana Fingali to SGA legislator March 4th.
Author's report.
Yeah, there's no report really. It's simple as it says.
Yep. Questions for the author? Oh my god. Do we need a report for this? Okay. Committee report. Yes. Is there a second?
Okay.
3/4 majority vote on order to discharge committee. All those in favor? All those opposed? All abstaining? Committee is discharged. Ariana?
I just want to say that it went through the elections committee and so everybody
yes. Yes, so even though it didn't have an official vote in committee, it did and it was passed through committee.
Yeah, we had 2/3.
2/3.
As in, so I'll let you
go. Debate and discussion on this bill. Joe.
So yeah, being passed around are the two referendum packets. They've been verified. They have all the signatures that are needed. 150. Yeah. So both of them are being passed around. First, started by your beloved president.
Well, the second one's for the Constitution, yeah, so.
Is there anything else in debate and discussion? Do we all know why we're doing this question? Why we're adding it to the ballot? Because we did mention it, like, 4 times. I just want to make sure because some people might not have been in that space when we mentioned it. We want people to vote. This is something fun. Okay.
Draw them in.
Jarrell.
Yeah.
Good question. It's going to be on the ballot with everything
else. Absolutely. Right. Anything else in debate discussion? Jack.
So I'm sorry to be that guy, but I can't support this bill because this I don't believe that the SGA should stand behind a division because I hear so many of my friends debate on this, and it tore like friendships apart. So, yeah, I don't want to support.
Noted.
This.
Noted.
I'm worried about your friends.
Okay. All right. We need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? All right. We need a vote again. Okay. We were present.
Yeah.
Okay. We were present. So if you were out of this room, you could abstain, but you were here, and. There's no bias because we included both. So, pork roll and Taylor ham. Okay. All those in favor of this bill adding to the referendum as a referendum question. All those opposed. All those abstaining. Bill passes. Now considering bill number S-2019-024, elections constitution reform question. Yep.
Be it enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas the Elections Committee received a referendum petition and whereas the referendum question states should the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated amend the Constitution proposed and passed by the legislature in the spring 2019 and whereas the referendum question is necessary to the future successes and functionality of the SGA, be it resolved that this referendum question appears on the 2019 SGA election ballot submitted by Ariana Tringali, SGA legislator, March 4th, 2019.
Office report.
This is the important one. This is the one to amend the Constitution, but I'll let Joe talk about it.
Yeah. Questions for the author? Chair report?
No report.
No. Questions for the chair? He gave you no report, no questions. Committee report? Ariana?
Motion to discharge committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
3/4 majority vote. Favor? Opposed? Abstaining? Committee is discharged. Debate discussion on this bill? Joe.
This is the important one. This is to give the students the option to amend the Constitution, in which all of y'all have worked so hard to reform and amend.
Okay. And whatever constitution you approve is the one, by the way, that's going to be on the ballot. So, like, let that be clarified, too. Nick.
I don't understand this one.
You don't understand what?
I don't understand what we're amending.
The constitution, the thing we've been doing in programming?
And, like, why are we amending? What are we amending?
change.
Oh,
okay. All right. It's okay. Ty.
Excuse me. Okay, so point of personal privilege. This is, so what this bill is saying that we're giving students the right to amend it, or we're...
No, we're the students are voting for it.
Voting for us to change it?
For the... No. It says, let's read the second whereas again.
Okay.
The referendum question states, quote, should the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated amend the constitution proposed and passed by the legislature in spring 2019? We have not passed, we have proposed it. So it doesn't say what specific one it is yet, because again, we have not passed it, but it does say you will pass the proposed, a proposed constitution. Okay, Carla.
I just want to clarify that that question is going to be on the ballot next to like the court.
Yes.
Yes.
It will be first.
Also, that's what we're voting for. So, do we want? Well, that's what the bill is stating, that it's going to be on the ballot when they go to vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nick.
So students are voting whether to make these changes to the.
Yes, they have to. So y'all's vote is kind of really like for nothing.
Yeah.
It's the students that we need 3,500 students to pass the amendments that you propose in order for them to be enacted.
But the amount of students that probably even know anything about the, they're just voting, like, they don't even know what.
No, we have both the old and the new constitution attached via link on this form. So they will be looking at all of the new changes and all of the old changes.
In addition to what you just said,
yeah.
There's also events specifically for
constitutional reform.
Yeah.
We're talking about it. We're tabling
okay.
ginormously at so many different other co-sponsored events where we're going to be talking about the Constitution. Ty.
Point of information. If I'm not correct, isn't the Constitution on the SGA?
Yes, so it is on HawkSync.
Yeah.
That they can also see the... Oh, yes, Ariana.
I just want to say, like, we don't really have a choice. This is kind of what we have to do according to the Constitution right now. We need 20% of the student body to vote. So we need that 3,500 to vote to change the Constitution. So that's why this is a referendum question, and that's why we're programming the way that we are, because we need that 3,500 turnout that we don't usually get.
Anything else in debate and discussion? We're all like, okay, that was a little confusing. We're all clear that this is going to be, they're going to actual vote on the new one, and they will be informed. We will be putting a descriptive reason why we're changing it. We're not letting them just blindly just say yes. Okay. So we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? All those passes. We are not going to be considering the other two bills. For the dining committee today. It's going to be done after break. I encourage you all, if you're interested in the wording, you're going to email the chair of dining and give your suggestions, because the meeting is a time to approve things, not the time to make serious amendments to bills. Okay. Anything in open forum?
If they want to have things that they can do, they can come to tomorrow.
Yep. Tomorrow's, you all, you know when the meeting is for dining. Tomorrow's meeting. Time?
5 to 6?
Sure. 5 to 6. All right. Seeing none, meeting adjourned. Yes.
Is there still a mandatory meeting after this?
For a minute.
Okay.
Yes, meeting adjourned at 5:38 p.m. Chairs very quickly. Yes, stay where you are. I'm going to yell at you.
Thank you.
No, like, just project. Minutes, agendas must be on a Google Drive by tonight. A lot of you are missing minutes and agendas for your meetings, and I don't know what happened, and I'm being asked, and I can't get a response. Meeting agendas, Google Drive, in the folder I shared with you, not your own, right? Yes. No, I have class. I have to do a capstone essay.
Yeah, I made a file
and
presentation. Shared with you.
But done.
Yes, from last week and this week.
So leave, buckle up, give me your keys.
I can clean up, I don't have anything else.
Okay, no, I'm going to help, yes.
If you need a...
What? Yes, I'm going to keep my phone. Yes.
My dad.
I don't want to delete it.
The committee you're talking about.